Rochester, Minnesota is known worldwide as the home of the Mayo Clinic, and in recent years, its leaders have turned their attention to charting sustainable, responsible growth, including in energy. With its own municipal utility, this southeastern Minnesota city has extra flexibility in calling its own shots and recirculating a greater portion of its residents' electricity dollars within the community. Now in his ninth year on Rochester City Council, Michael Wojcik champions this kind of local control. He spoke with John Farrell, who heads the Energy Democracy Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, about Rochester's unique opportunity to promote economic growth through better energy policies.
The issue is that all of our energy sources involve us purchasing fuels that take money from our community and send it elsewhere. And that's a real long-term concern if you want to be a financially sustainable community.
This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
The majority of Americans get their electricity from private companies, but Rochester, Minnesota has a municipal utility that's owned by the city. Does that mean that this, you know, as a city councilor, that you're helping to run the power plants?
We really have no intention of doing anything like that. Those are kind of the days of the past where a community would have a power plant that provides their needs. Really, we're dealing with a modern electricity grid where there's a number of suppliers and a number of purchasers. And places like Rochester, sometimes we're net providing on the system, sometimes we're using more off of the system. But because we have a good distribution system in the United States, we are able to provide for power needs by either generating our own power or buying it off the market.
The management, the day-to-day management of the utility is not in the hands of city council, if I'm not mistaken. There's a separate group of folks that the city that are taking care of that.
Our city charter, we're a home rule charter city, specifies that we have a public utility, Rochester Public Utilities, that's responsible for the electric utility as well as the water utility. And as a result of that, the power is largely delegated to those professionals. They have a 5-member board of directors, of which one council member sits, and I happen to be the council member who also sits as a director for Rochester Public Utilities.
You know, Rochester was in the news a few months ago for pledging to get 100% of its electricity from renewable resources by 2031. What role did you and the city council play in that, and how firm is that target?
Well, I have to be totally honest here and say that I found out about that commitment when I read it in the newspaper. It was actually a proclamation made by our mayor. I think it's an outstanding goal for the community to have, but actually the city council has not did not take formal action in the establishment of that goal, nor have we taken any action subsequent to that. But it certainly got us thinking about how we can get there.
Do you think that the city council is likely to do something to, I guess, for lack of a better term, back up that proclamation or to make it more official? Or are you satisfied with the fact that it's a stretch goal that you can aspire to?
Anytime you have a goal like this, you have to be very careful on what it is you're measuring and what your outcomes intended to be. Obviously, we're not going to turn over the entire vehicle fleet of the city of Rochester to electric vehicles between now and 2031. As such, what we're really talking about is our net energy production. Do we produce as much in renewables as we consume? That's a challenging target. Certainly, there are some things working against us right now in terms of legal obligations we have with the Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. That said, we're moving in this direction already. Certainly, the things that we have great control over, that is the efficiency of our building and the design of our community, we're making great strides in trying to become a more livable, walkable, sustainable city. And in 2031, we magically get out of the contract that we've been in for power supply for a long time, and that restricts what we're able to do on the generation side greatly. And that's going to enable us to really take a look at generating substantially more renewable post 2030.
That's a great transition to the next question I had. You know, there are other cities that have adopted pledges like this. You know, many of them are targeting 2050. On the other hand, you have a city, Georgetown, Texas, also a municipal utility, and I'm guessing with a similar scenario in terms of the expiration of their contracts. So 2031 is the date because it's the time when the city gets really an increase in its flexibility for how it can approach this?
Absolutely.
And what do you imagine the sources of electricity will be for Rochester? You know, not just literally where the electrons come from, but what do you think are the choices that the city will make about what are those sources, whether it's solar or wind or or what have you?
Well, I can't speak for the entire city, but from my standpoint, when I look at my community, energy has traditionally been a large sucking sound, taking wealth away from the community. We do not have coal here. We do not have natural gas. We do not have uranium. We do not have petroleum. The issue is that all of our energy sources involve us purchasing fuels that take money from our community and send it elsewhere. And that's a real long-term concern if you want to be a financially sustainable community. What we do have is we have great solar capacity. We have better solar capacity here in Rochester, Minnesota, the frigid north, as some of your listeners might be thinking of us. We have better solar capacity here than parts of Florida and Texas. And that's important to remember. That's a great resource. My home has been net powered by solar electricity for 5 years now. And we also have tremendous wind capacity. Southern Minnesota has essentially a wind belt where we can probably in the relatively near future generate the quantity of energy we need from both wind and solar over the course of a year. And we still have some storage issues and some timing issues, but technology continues to advance every single year. And I truly believe that wind, solar, conservation, hydro, and we have a waste energy facility as well. These are the sources that can power our community and keep our resource dollars local.
And I feel like you may have already answered my next question. We're very efficient here. For a lot of communities, renewable electricity means, you know, minimal fuel costs and reducing pollution. Were there other considerations? You mentioned specifically this idea of keeping dollars local. Are there other components to that idea of this transition to renewables?
I think there are a lot of good reasons to do this. I grew up in northern Minnesota, West Cohasset Township. And one of the biggest coal power plants in the state is just a few miles from where I grew up. And I didn't realize how much difficulty I had with my respiratory system until I had moved away for a few years. Just outside of the economic benefits and addressing climate change, there's a lot of quality of life issues that are benefited from getting away from fossil fuels. Certainly when you get into cities, diesel particulate can tend to be an issue. So this is about building a healthier environment for the people to live in. And if we want to be the world's premier city for health, we need to make sure that we're handling the environmental justice aspects of that as well. I know I said it earlier, but I'll restate that just keeping those dollars local, Minnesota loses something like $20 billion annually in fuel costs going to other states. That money stays in our state and it turns over and it builds the quality of life and opportunity for everyone here.
What advice would you give to citizens of other cities that have municipal utilities or elected officials in other cities who might admire what Rochester is committed to and want to follow in those footsteps?
One of the things that people in Rochester don't necessarily realize is how much of an asset it is to have a locally controlled public municipality. And there's always people that are willing to give you a big check or do other things to acquire your service territory. But the freedom for innovation, the freedom for leadership, the ability for citizens to decide your energy future is something that you get with a municipal utility. So if you have a municipal utility, you have something that's absolutely golden, and don't ever give up that opportunity, no matter how good the sales pitch is to do that. And overwhelmingly, I think you'll find any community with municipal utility, if you poll them, you're going to find that they score incredibly high in terms of customer satisfaction. And I'm proud of our public utility here in Rochester and want to keep it strong for future generations.
So I'm kind of curious, you know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier in our conversation was about, you know, the role of conservation, energy efficiency. Are there particular things you think that as a municipal utility that Rochester can do differently or more thoroughly, if you will, than maybe a private company like Xcel Energy or some of the other companies that have, you know, made their money by selling electricity?
If you're an investor-owned utility, ultimately you have a fiduciary obligation to the investors. Because we are a publicly owned utility, we have a total commitment to the public. And that means that what drives an investor-owned utility doesn't necessarily need to drive a public utility. In our particular case, the community has spoken up that they want us to be a clean energy leader. There's certainly more that we can do on that, and we don't have to go to an investment panel to look at what the potential return on investment is. We also have a group of citizens that care deeply about the environment here in Rochester. We're a scientific community. We understand that climate change is real. It's a threat, and it needs to be addressed. And we can prioritize that in terms of how we do business. And finally, by having a public utility, we have the ability to envision what we want that utility to be in the future, what services they're going to deliver. We've traditionally delivered water and electric, but there's a great demand in the community for a broadband source that is local, competitive, and fair to the public as well. This is another thing that we can do both to enhance our communications, allow for a smarter grid in the future, but also serve the needs of the community.
Digging into the weeds of policy a little bit, we're working on some efforts up in Minneapolis around energy efficiency. The city here has what we're calling a clean energy partnership between the two investor-owned utilities and the city around the city's climate action plan. So it's kind of an interesting hybridization of this notion of getting the public interest more in front of the utility companies. One of the things that we're looking at around energy efficiency, and you mentioned both environmental justice, which I think is a key component of what we're looking at, but also kind of the goal of maximizing energy savings, is this concept called inclusive financing or tariff-based financing. And I'm curious if you're familiar with that and if that's something that, you know, has been thought about, you know, given that you have a public utility, putting those utility resources and dollars to use for citizens to invest in energy efficiency.
It's something that I'm passionate about. I'm advocating for a process whereby we would use public financing to essentially allow citizens to invest in a combination of energy efficiency, retrofitting, and renewable energy purchases that ideally would keep the bill flat for a payback period and then go away thereafter. Not everybody can write out a check for several thousand dollars to put a bank of solar panels on their roof or to change out all their old appliances. But over time, if they were able to do that, they'd recoup that investment. So we as a public partner should have some financing options available to, while protecting our own financial interests, make sure that we extend the opportunity for clean energy and conservation to everyone in the community, not just those with the financial wherewithal.
Is that something you think is likely to happen in the next year or two?
You know, timing is always difficult because speaking as a politician, you can never count on those politicians to get stuff done. It's a but it is a real challenge for us to enact some of these policies and taking a look at the legal restrictions that we have. Certainly, we have some restrictions on what we can do with renewable energy, but staff is currently evaluating our rate structure, and we have some questions related to this in terms of if we do a community solar project potentially with our municipal power agency, is there a way that we can finance participation in that and, you know, pay back the initial capital with their energy created over time? And I do think, I can't commit that we're going to have it done in the next year or two, but I think we're going to have answers on what a program like that would look like and come to a decision point on it.
Last question here for you. You know, they have that game, that party game called 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. How many degrees is it between most people who live in Rochester and the Mayo Clinic?
Oh, well, that's most of my neighborhood. So we're a city of 120,000 or so with, 35,000 jobs at the clinic and a significant number of others supporting it. I'm not a Rochester local, but it's an amazing facility to have in your community, hands down the best hospital in the world.
That was Rochester City Council member Michael Wojcik speaking with John Farrell, the director of the Energy Democracy Initiative at ILSR, about how Rochester's municipal utility is plotting an energy future that favors local control and local benefits. For more information on renewables, municipal utilities, and inclusive financing, head over to ilsr.org. And while you're there, you can check out other episodes of the Local Energy Rules podcast. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.